live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Anglo-Irish Bank's former CEO has been found guilty of taking part in a €7.2 billion conspiracy to defraud investors and depositors. We'll have a report from the Central Criminal Court. The traffic lights at Maclay's Corner in Stranraer are operational again this evening, but Donegal County Council is now being urged to carry out a full review of their operation following claims the traffic actually moved more efficiently through the area without them. There are calls for a better cross-border strategy and communication between the Gardaí and the PSNI, with car criminals claimed to be causing havoc in both Donegal and Derry. And later in the bulletin, at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Oisín Kelly. Good evening. Anglo-Irish Bank's former CEO David Drum has been found guilty of taking part in a €7.2 billion conspiracy to defraud investors and depositors. He was also found guilty of false accounting in December 2008 by furnishing incorrect information to the market about the strength of Anglo's deposits. Courts correspondent Frank Graney was in court this afternoon when the verdicts came in.
The prosecution described multi-million euro circular transactions between Anglo and Irish Life and Permanent in September 2008 as one massive con designed to trick investors, depositors and lenders about the strength of the former bank. David Drum is accused of calling the shots and of conspiring with others to defraud, the others being Anglo's former finance director Willie McAteer, its one-time head of capital markets John Bow and the former head of ILMP Dennis Casey, all of whom were convicted of the same conspiracy charge 2 years ago. Mr. Drum accepted the transactions took place but denied they were fraudulent or dishonest. The jury disagreed after 10 and a half hours of deliberations, thereby bringing the curtain down on an 87-day trial. The 51-year-old sat in the dock with his legs crossed and arms folded. His left hand appeared to be shaking as the verdicts came in. He's been remanded on continuing bail ahead of his sentence hearing, which is due to take place in a fortnight.
The traffic lights at Maclay's Corner in Stranraer are operational again this evening, with Donegal County Council being urged to carry out a full review of their operation. The lights had been out of action for a number of days, with claims the traffic actually moved more swiftly through the town without them. A number of local business people and residents believe that the lights, when functional, actually cause unnecessary delays. Among them is the Cathaoirleach of the Stranraer Municipal District, Councillor Patrick McGowan.
At the time the lights were first proposed and put on, there was a number of meetings with local businesses, particularly in Stranraer, and representatives at the time, and we weren't convinced, neither the business nor ourselves, that they would work, and we've been proven right over the last, 10 years. On Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, the lights broke down, and there's been free flow and traffic ever since. Just to kind of highlight it back to the people that at the time that were pushing for them, and we've actually monitored them with some of the local businesses, CCTV. Now there is a problem at Stranraer Bridge where the footbridge is under construction, but up at Maclay's there's four roads leads in and out of that, and one of them actually comes round by the Finn Valley Centre Drainage, which is seen as a mini bypass of the town, but with traffic lights there it ends up back in the junction, and you have to run a gauntlet there of three lanes of traffic, and that's the way it's been now for since the lights are there. But as I say, since Saturday morning, there's a bank holiday weekend as well, and bank holiday Monday, and there's been an awful lot of traffic there, but there's been no delays. Traffic is moving, and even this morning there at 9 o'clock, and free flow of traffic as well. So I've been on to the council since Saturday morning, asking them to review the whole light situation at Maclay's Corner.
And that was Councillor Patrick McGowan. There are calls for more cross-border cooperation between Gardaí and the PSNI, with car criminals claimed to be causing havoc in both Donegal and Derry. It's after a stolen vehicle was reportedly driven recklessly around the Gallia area of Derry last night before it was crashed into the front of the local co-op. Local Councillor Sandra Duffy believes that gangs are using the backroads network on both sides of the border, and she says there are genuine fears in that area that someone will be killed unless there's a more united approach between Gardaí and the PSNI.
We're right on the border with Muff and Burnfoot, and what we see is policing becoming extremely difficult when these cars and vans are stolen because people are escaping over the border. So we need some sort of cross-border cooperation between the police and the Gardaí in terms of addressing this issue. Now, last night we had the van drive completely erratically around our local area. It then crashed into a local co-op shop, which is a main facility for the people of Gaelia in terms of their groceries and all the rest of it. So it caused major disruption last night within the area. Local people were afraid that someone could have been killed. There could have been a more serious implication to this. But at the end of the day, we need this issue tackled by the police, and we also need it tackled by the guards on the other side of the border.
More often than enough, though, when something unfortunately like this does happen and vice versa, police or the Gardaí are contacted, but you're calling for a greater, stronger, more united approach indeed.
Yes, indeed. We actually met with the police a number of months ago when this issue arose then. And we asked them to explore the issue with the guards to see what could be done, because we are very conscious that there's a lot of back roads here and people find it very easy to rally around. We can hear them at all times of the day and night, and it has been reported to the police, who we then expect then to contact their counterparts in the guards, who then can address the issue on both sides of the border so that these people aren't given free rein on the back roads and able to escape then into Burnfoot or Muff.
And that was Councillor Sandra Duffy speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. The OPW is being urged to make provision for tour guides at Greenan of Allia, with claims that the potential of the site isn't being realised, particularly when compared to other areas in the county. It's estimated that around 100,000 people visited the site in Burt last year, with ongoing calls on the OPW to develop the landmark further. Figures also show that while other attractions across Donegal have fewer annual visitors, they are sufficiently staffed. The outgoing Coherlock of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, says more investment is needed in the site to enhance the overall experience.
It makes no sense that Greenan still is ignored in this way and doesn't get tour guides for such a hugely popular tourist attraction. There's so many people coming up there and don't get the full history, the full experience of what Greenan of Allia offers. And I'm delighted to see tour guides employed at other sites across the county, but to me it's just crazy that still Greenan doesn't have tour guides. And I continue to maintain that Greenan should be the top tourist attraction in Donegal, and we should be doing everything to continue to promote it, and it's just not happening.
Would you have been in regular correspondence, I presume, with the department? What if they had to say their reason behind not having any tour guides on the site?
Yeah, just over a year ago, I organised a meeting with all the stakeholders in the local kind of Burt parish area, and the OPW came and addressed this, and they took on board to do a conservation management plan, but that still hasn't arrived. The people there stressed how important Greenan of Allia was to tourism in the area. I thought that really weren't reaching our potential, but to date, there hasn't been the positive response from the OPW that we would have expected or would have hoped for. Any of the initiatives or events that are organised in Greenan, which really show it off and bring people to the area, they're all organised by just volunteers from the local community. But the OPW, the custodians of the site, really aren't stepping up to mark on this.
Councillor Jack Murray. The 2018 O'Neill's Foil Cup was launched last evening, with the local economy in Derry set to benefit substantially. 400 teams have signed up for this year's competition. Over 6,000 young people will participate at different venues across the northwest. Teams from all over the world have entered the Festival of Football, with the organising committee saying the knock-on effect for the wider economy tends to be substantially underestimated. The committee chair, Michael Hutton, says the tournament contributes more than many other more prominent events.
The good news story has travelled from the city, with the visitors going away and saying, right, okay, great tournament, great playing surfaces, great atmosphere, but most important, the local hospitality is second to none. And the hoteliers very much appreciate it, because what they're telling me now is, you know, we have the Jazz Festival, we have the Halloween Festival, which is fantastic. They would say that this tournament is the biggest on the calendar, because whilst they are maybe one or two nights bed and breakfast, we're six, 7 nights full board.
A Donegal deputy says yesterday's allocation of 2.24 million to Donegal County Council under the Community Involvement Scheme falls far short of what's needed in the county. The funding is part of a 23 million euro national two-year programme. Around 15% of the costs will have to be raised by local communities. On Highland Radio yesterday, Minister Shane Ross told Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show that Donegal was getting the single biggest allocation of any county in the country. However, Lascan Corlett deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says it's simply not enough.
He announced 23 million for the country. We must remember this is over a 2-year period, and over 2 million for Donegal, certainly not enough. Taking into consideration that Donegal per capita has the most miles of roads in the country, and they say these are for local and regional roads, there's no way that this money can be provided for regional roads. Who on regional roads will be prepared to make a contribution of between 16 and 30% as a local contribution? They tell me that the average in Donegal will be 19, and this is much too high. The minister doesn't understand the issue that we have in Donegal as far as these roads are concerned.
And do you think what needs to be done is that areas need to be prioritised?
The minister must look at Donegal in isolation and take into consideration all of the issues that we have. He must, of course, look at public roads. There are public roads that are not county roads, and those are roads that require funding, and there are many on those roads that would be glad to make a contribution, but I'm fearful that those roads are not included. We have to go back to the time when we have the CLAR top-up programme in Donegal, while we have the LIS funds, and also the Gaeltacht roads should have the Gaeltacht authorisation schemes, which were there for many years.
And that was W. Pat Gallagher speaking to Michaela Clark. The Irish Blood Transfusion Service is urging people to attend clinics in Donegal this week as supplies are low after the bank holiday weekend. The operations director, Paul Kinney, is urging people to attend the clinics in Donegal town today and Killybegs tomorrow, particularly as the last Killybegs clinic was cancelled as a result of Storm Emma. He says the current situation is difficult.
Obviously, with the really good weather, it has affected some of our clinic attendance. After the bank holiday, we're struggling to get the supplies back up to where we need them to be, which is 7 days. We have two clinics in Donegal, one in the Abbey Hotel tonight, 2:30 until 5 and 7 o'clock until 9:30. And we have another tomorrow, Thursday, in Killybegs. Killybegs, the same times as the Abbey Hotel. Interestingly, Killybegs was the clinic that we had to cancel when Storm Emma hit. So we're really hoping for a good turnout tomorrow night, and indeed for the two clinics in Donegal. So we really ask donors to make a big effort. In fact, we had a very busy last month. The hospitals used a lot of blood, and already at the start of this week, their demands are very high. So yes, obviously with people going on holidays and the schools breaking up soon, it is more difficult for us to get people to attend the clinics. So yes, big effort on our part needed, but we have some fantastic support from the donors, and particularly Donegal donors.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, stocking all the running footwear and accessories you need to go the distance.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer. Cockhill Celtic and Letterkenny Rovers will do battle this evening for the Ulster Senior League title. The sides meet in a winner-takes-all playoff at the Dry Arch Park at 7:30. Cockhill are going for a sixth crown in a row and a sixth league and cup double, while the side from the Cathedral Town that lifted the Knockallis Cup this year are looking to win it for the first time since 2009. Fannage United manager Arthur Lynch says it's a very tight call to make.
I think it'd be very hard to pick either side at the moment now. Oisin, it's, you know, two sides are nip and tuck this long time. They've won a cup each, and Letterkenny got the winner in the league to take this game to a playoff. So very hard to call, Oisin.
What was the fact that Cockhill won the latest game in the cup last weekend, and maybe that they have that experience of winning for the last few years in a row, would it be fair to say that maybe they have that whatever slight advantage is there?
Well, I think Cockhill had to win the last game to go into this one. They've got a confidence for the last one or two. I saw the cup final in Bonagie now, and as Gavin Collins said himself, Cockhill didn't turn up that night, but Letterkenny, to be fair to them, were very good. I didn't see the league game now, but from what I've been told, there wasn't much in the game, and it was a wonder goal that won it. So, like, Cockhill had to basically get something on the board, and they done fairly emphatically on Saturday night, 1-3-1.
Who's the most pressure on, do you think?
I don't think at this stage there's pressure on anybody. It's a one-off game, you know. I think you just have to go in and play it and give it your all and hope for the best, you know.
And just finally, it's the sort of game that could end up going all the way.
Could be. Could be decided in penalties or, you know, maybe decided on a set piece. I don't think there'll be much in it. There'll probably only be a goal in it. Look, I'm just hoping it's a good game for everyone to watch, you know. It's a good spectacle. Like, the league this year has been very strong, very competitive from the top four or five teams, you know. And, look, it's down to the wire, so if you can't ask for any more, really.
That's Fanny's United manager, Arthur Lynch, on his thoughts of Coghill against Letterkenny tonight as the Ulster Senior League title playoff kick-off out at Bunnagee is at 7:30. Another local news, Derry City midfielder Nicky Lowe has moved to dispel recent rumours that he's set to leave the Brandywell this month by signing an extended contract until the end of the season. The 26-year-old has been a pivotal part of Kenny Shields' midfield this year, and the announcement is sure to be well received by club supporters. Lowe was released by his parent club Dundee last month. Republic of Ireland international Shawnee Maguire signed a new 3-year contract with Preston North End. The 24-year-old joined the Championship side from Cork last summer and has now agreed a deal which will keep him at Deep Dale until 2021. He did, of course, finish top scorer at Preston last year despite missing 4 months out of the campaign due to a hamstring injury. Manchester United have met Portuguese teenager Diogo Dalot, their second signing of the summer. The 19-year-old, who can play at left or right back, arrives for €20 million from Porto and has signed a 5-year contract at Old Trafford. He follows United's capture off Brazilian midfielder Fred yesterday. Celtic have announced that Nadar Şefiki will leave at the end of this month. The Turkish striker still has a year left in his contract, but has struggled to make an impression with the Scottish champions since being signed in 2015. Ireland rugby head coach Noel McNamara has made 6 changes for tomorrow's game against Georgia at the Under-20 World Rugby Championship. There's no place for Letterkenny's Joe Dunleavy in the squad for their final game of the competition. Having lost their first 2 matches against South Africa and host France, Ireland can't qualify for the semis. Dunleavy plays with Malone and Ulster, had started their previous 2 games and scored a try in the opener against the French. In boxing, there's a big night of action at London's York Hall this evening. Sean McGoldrick from Newport in Wales, a boxer with very strong Donegal connections, is on the bill and is up against Craig Derbyshire. It's McGoldrick's 6th professional contest at bantamweight, and so far he has a record of 5-0. Michael Dunlop has completed a hat-trick of victories at this year's TT by winning the lightweight race for Super Twins for the first time on the Isle of Man. Dunlop, who will swap 2 wheels for 4 later this month at the Donegal Rally, produced a stunning record lap of 122.750 miles per hour to record an 18th career TT win. He had previously won the Superbike and opening Super Sport event at this year's races. On golf news, Sunday tickets for the 18th grandstand for the 2018 Dubai Duty Free Irish Open in Ballyliffin, hosted by the Rory Foundation, have sold out completely. Fans hoping to get exclusive front row seats for the prestigious Rolex Series event are now being urged to act quickly with limited tickets remaining. General ticket sales are well ahead of the target for the 4th Rolex Series event of the European Tour's Race to Dubai. General and grandstand tickets are available at europeantour.com. In tennis, Rain has halted play at the French Open at Roland Garros. Defending men's champion Rafa Nadal has dropped a set in Paris for the first time since 2015. He's one set to love down to the 11th seed Diego Schwartzman in the quarterfinals. The match between Marion Cilic and Juan Martin Del Porto is at 5 games all in the opening set before rain brought an end to play. As for the women's, it was victories for the number 1 seed Simona Halep and indeed 2016 champion Garin Muguruza. They will meet now in the last 4 in the semi-final. But other tennis news today has heard that Andy Murray's pulled out of his comeback next week. He was meant to play in the Netherlands, but he says he's not yet 100% fit. It comes just hours after the 2-time All-England club champion was insisting that he's still hopeful I've been back at Wimbledon for this year. Finally, in racing, tributes are being paid to 2008 Cheltenham Gold Cup winner Denman, who has died at the age of 18. The Paul Nicholls trained Corkbred horse was best known for his rivalry with stablemate Kodo Star. Denman was retired in 2011, having claimed 14 victories from 24 starts. Tom Comack will have our GA programme here in Highland tonight, as usual. That will air at 8:30. And I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisín. The Irish Penal Reform Trust says it wants to see more robust assessments of how to prevent criminals reoffending. It comes as Cabinet's been considering whether to introduce electronic tagging for sex offenders. The IPRT doesn't believe there's enough evidence to show that it has a real impact on reducing reoffending. Executive Director Deirdre Malone says it might have some success, but it won't be suitable for everyone.
So I think in relation to offending and in relation to release, when people are released, what happens and what certainly should happen is that there is a range of sexual offences, and there is a range of risk assessments that happen when somebody is released. I think what should happen is that there should be a very robust risk assessment. I think if electronic monitoring is warranted in the circumstances, then that should absolutely be looked at.
A former Assistant Garda Commissioner has said interviewing an uncle of Maurice McCabe wasn't to dig up dirt on the whistleblower. John O'Mahony accepts that the uncle made wild allegations that were of no use to his investigation, but stands by the decision to send a chief superintendent to interview him. Meanwhile, another journalist has told the Disclosures Tribunal he was never negatively briefed on Maurice McCabe by any member of the Garda. With more, here's Juliet Gash.
John O'Mahony was appointed to investigate the cancellation of penalty points in October 2012. When he says he wasn't aware who the whistleblowers that raised the issues were. The former assistant commissioner said when he did become aware Maurice McCabe had blown the whistle on penalty points, he felt he was precluded from contacting him and he had enough information to go on to investigate the matter anyway. In January of 2013, he sent a chief superintendent to interview Bernard McCabe to listen to what he has to offer, but very quickly realised it was a waste of time as he was making wild allegations about his nephew. Counsel for Maurice McCabe said it was wholly irrelevant and extraneous to the issue, which Mr O'Mahony admitted it turned out to be, but he said it wasn't done to dig up dirt. This afternoon, Mick O'Toole from the Irish Daily Star said nobody in the Gardaí ever smeared Maurice McCabe to him, and he explicitly denied ever being briefed negatively by Superintendent Dave Taylor at any crime scene, as the former press officer has alleged.
The number of people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning fell from 30 yesterday to 18, none of them on emergency department trolleys. Nationally, the figure was 430, the highest number 49 at University Hospital Limerick. The deadline for applications to join on Garda Síochána has been extended until midday tomorrow. The closing date to apply for jobs in the force had been set for 3 o'clock today, but due to technical difficulties with the public jobs website, it's now been extended. And the National Standards Authority of Ireland has issued a new draft protocol for the assessment of buildings damaged by defective concrete blocks. It's in line with one of the key recommendations of the expert panel report into homes in Donegal and Mayo affected by mica. The draft standard is now going out to public consultation. The closing date for submissions is the 18th of July. Yvonne Wilde is a technical officer with the NSAI.
What happens next is we have established a committee that drafted the standard, and they will be given all the comments that we get and consider whether they can be used to improve the standard or not. And then when all of the comments are considered, we will submit a final version of the document to our board for approval, and then it will be available hopefully by Q4 this year as an Irish standard, which can be used by chartered engineers when they're assessing dwellings with these problems.
And this is one of the recommendations that was set out in the expert panel report, so it is vital that people do have their say.
The expert panel published its report, and the first recommendation was that NSAI would develop a protocol. And I suppose that was because at the time there was nothing. This is a new problem. The mica problem in particular is a very new problem. There was no standard existing, so the engineers and people who are looking and the builders who are looking at the problem didn't have one particular agreed set of recommendations to follow. So hopefully having this protocol now with an agreed way of assessing the building, an agreed way of testing and the number of samples to take and all that will make it much more easier for all those involved. There'll be a consistent approach to assessing the building and to coming to conclusions about the state of the building, how it's going to behave in the future, and what might be done to fix it.
Yvonne. Wild of the National Standards Authority of Ireland. It'll be warm this evening with hazy sunshine and scattered cloud. A few heavy showers possible, but they'll soon die out. Tonight, dry with clear spells, a few patches of mist or fog. Lowest temperatures 9 to 13 degrees Celsius. Mist and fog quickly clearing tomorrow morning, leaving another warm and sunny day. Some scattered heavier thundery showers developing in the afternoon and evening. Highest temperatures 22 to 24 degrees Celsius with light easterly breezes. A few degrees cooler along the coast. And that's Highland Radio News for now. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock, but looking at the main stories again. Anglo-Irish Bank's former CEO David Drum has been found guilty of taking part in a €7.2 billion conspiracy to defraud investors and depositors. He was also found guilty of false accounting in December 2008 by furnishing incorrect information to the market about the strength of Anglo's deposits. He's been remanded on continuing bail for a sentence hearing in 2 weeks' time. The traffic lights at Maclay's Corner in Stranorra are operational again this evening. Donegal County Council, however, is being urged to carry out a full review of their operation after claims that the traffic actually moved more swiftly through the area when the lights were out. There have been calls for greater cross-border cooperation between Gardaí and the PSNI, with car criminals claimed to be causing havoc in both Donegal and Derry, using back roads to escape from one jurisdiction into another. We're back again, as I said, with news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 6th of June. The death has taken place of Joe Foley, 44, Duncastle Road, New Buildings. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Oratory, New Buildings, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Foyle Hospice or Marie Curie, care of Mrs Joan Doherty, 20 Dunhew Park, Victoria Road. The death has occurred of Mary Marley, Corgary, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill, Ballybuffet, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of James Toy, Cross, Quigley's Point. His remains are reposing at his sister-in-law Mary Toy's residence at Cross, Quigley's Point. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 to St Columba's Church, Drumquigley's Point, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Jonathan Todd, 129 Fifen Road, Victoria Bridge. Funeral service at his home tomorrow at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Ardstraw New Cemetery. And the death has taken place of Joe Harran, Lark Hill, Beltra, County Sligo. His remains will repose at St Bridget's Church, Corhouna, Ballisadare, County Sligo, this evening from 7 o'clock to 8:30. Funeral mass there tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in St Nathie's Cemetery, Colooney, County Sligo. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Northwest Hospice or Irish Kidney Association, care of Gerard Clark and Sons, funeral directors. The house is strictly private, please.